This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Now, our first panellist is Bobak Saeed, who's a writer, multidisciplinary artist, public speaker, and community organiser of the Afghan diaspora. They co-edit Archer magazine, Australia's leading queer journal on sex, gender and identity, and they are founder of the activist collective Colour Tongues, which fosters community for people living at the intersections of marginality. Bobak has presented at Rainbow Network events led by GLHV and Archer's own Jamie Jones, and recently, I think, received a Hay Project grant, and the Hay Project is an LGBTIQ youth project co-developed by GLHV. So they are, by association, part of the Archers family and represent the new wave of LGBTIQ activism post-marriage equality. Please make Bobak welcome.
Thank you for that introduction. I'm here representing the minorities, the intersections, on the panel this evening, and I'm very happy to be doing that. I think I'm going to start with a little anecdote about marriage equality. And on the day that I found out, you know, November 15th, as just as Michael Kirby indicated earlier, I called my mother, who lives in the States, and I was, you know, a little tongue-in-cheek. I said, "Mother, now that we know, we have," in Farsi, obviously, so the translation doesn't map on exactly, but you get the gist. "Mother, now we have marriage equality in Australia. Will you find me a doting Afghan husband?" And lovely, devout Muslim that she is, she shuddered all the way, thousands of miles away. And that really provides a portal into the points that I'd like to raise today, because I come from a school of queerness that is non-normative, anti-assimilationist, pro-race. It is decolonial, it is radical. And from my community, marriage equality was a bit farcical, really, because we noticed that throughout the process, there were voices left behind. During the postal vote, there were voices targeted, queer Muslims in Lakemba, as the Honourable Justice indicated, as being part of the two electorates that voted in majority no. And even in the aftermath, in whose voices were championed and heralded as being pivotal in the victory. So I'll get that in a little bit. I will be kind of orbiting around four key points. I don't have a script because it's not really... something I prefer to use, so bear with me if I stumble across these four points. The first being race, the second being young people who I work with, the third being users of pre-exposure prophylaxis or PrEP, and the fourth being sex workers. So my first point is in the people of colour, the refugee communities, asylum seeker communities that were not represented in the debate itself, have kind of fallen away despite being targeted and disproportionately disadvantaged by the debate. And you can see that in the work that I was doing with queer people of colour throughout. And I think that in the language that we use concerning marriage equality, often we reproduce some of these injustices in how we talk about Aboriginal people and LGBT people without acknowledging the crucial intersections of people who are Aboriginal LGBT and who suffered greatly in the marriage equality debate and who continue to. And that also stands for LGBT asylum seekers and refugees who I work with, who really didn't give a shit throughout the process because they were struggling with accommodation. They didn't have any food. You know, when they were coming to and accessing our programs, they were starving. They were missing their parents. They were missing their siblings on Manus and Nauru. And I think it's important to acknowledge that when we're working with marginalized communities, we're also working with intersectionality, and that can't be an afterthought, because when that's an afterthought, the race and identity and class of individuals is often sidelined, and you know, individuals and identities are whole. They cannot be dissociated and fragmented, and we are human beings after all. And I think that's really key and central to the voices and anti-assimilationist kind of like approach that a lot of young queer people were taking and continue to take in regards to marriage equality. Many of whom, you know, would have preferred to see marriage as a right, just withdrawn from all people rather than extended to all people. But young people in particular, accessing our programs and articulating their grievances with how monogamous respectability politics of the marriage equality campaign is simply not true for all people. And access to marriage, access to those familial units is actually culturally specific to whiteness in a lot of ways. And it's really important to remember that and remember in a retrospect and ongoing how that was mapped on and forced upon queer people of color in the sense that there was a postal vote from the federal government, but also in the sense that a lot of LGBT people mapped that and forced that upon us throughout the process. And so that leads me on to like my third, well, I'll go to sex workers first, because this is kind of the group. Sex workers, for those people in the audience who aren't familiar, are very, very often queer. And it's just like part of the deal. And there are many, many reasons, which on a different panel, I'm sure, or with a sex worker, you can have a conversation about it. But in the recent Sester-Foster bill that was passed in the United States, there was private sex working on websites like Twitter and Cracker and Backpages has been criminalized. And those websites have been taken down. So now sex workers who have made a living on private sex work through the internet have lost their livelihoods. And I think it's really important to consider them in this because they, again, have intersections with class and race and gender. And so thinking about the kind of economics of sex work is kind of always already intersectional. And so we are helping LGBT people, and we are moving forward beyond the politics of like the assimilationist notions of marriage when we're actually considering how these people sustain themselves economically, how we and our peers kind of like prevent homelessness and prevent kind of the risks that street-based and face-to-face sex work, which has increased as a result of this bill, kind of like culminate. And so the fourth and final on my little mini spiel for this evening is pre-exposure prophylaxis, which is which I'm sure many of you are familiar with, shortened, it's known as PrEP, and so preventative HIV medication, and in which has recently been listed on the PBS, which is a great development. But one thing I want to draw attention to is that in both the marketing of PrEP and in the user identity information, you'll notice that there's a real racialized disproportionate statistically like data on who's accessing PrEP, who PrEP is marketed to, and unfortunately that doesn't actually map onto the statistics of who has HIV, who is a much higher risk of having HIV. And so you look at how PrEP is marketed to cis gay white men, that doesn't really like correspond to like who is continuing to get HIV at higher rates and who has always gotten HIV at higher rates, which is Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander gay and bi and transgender men. And things like that are really like important to acknowledge, because that's just a continuation of white supremacy in a lot of ways. That's just a continuation of heteronormativity in a lot of ways. And it's important going forward that we're bringing attention to and interrogating how in our queer circles, we're just reproducing a lot of the same shit that we try to buck, that we pride ourselves on being different from. And it falls on all of us, as much as it falls on the federal and state governments, to be drawing attention to it and it's dismantling it as quickly and as effectively as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Babak, very much.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.